עוד יותר, יוצרי התוכן של ישראל.
I can't believe we're here right now. Can you believe it? I can.
Why
I did not?
Not
expect us to be here today.
It's a wartime. It's a wartime special.
It's a wartime special. Just last week we were here chatting about how Olim were panicking, stocking up on food, on canned goods, and you were telling me, guys, there's something to worry about. They're not gonna happen.
Turns out
it
I was
happened.
Right.
What?
Turns out you were stocking up on toilet paper and beans.
But it happened.
For what happened?
They striked us.
So?
It happened.
What happened?
Nothing.
Exactly.
We didn't sleep. That's what happened.
Exactly.
We were up all night anxious and didn't sleep.
Oh, it's O out of 221. I think Israeli guys on the beach have
the knee drop have a more successful rate. I wish you could show the audience right now what a knee drop
is.
But
how are you doing? How are you doing? I'm not going to do a knee drop because I never did and I never will, you know.
So you're saying there's a higher chance of a knee drop being successful than an Iranian drone hitting Israel?
Absolutely.
What I don't understand is how this happened. Biden literally said don't. Like,
oh no.
Like, how did
no.
this happen?
Biden say don't. And you know, we all listen to Biden. Come on.
It seems like every time Biden says don't, the opposite happens. Like he should start saying,
please.
Please. Yeah, please.
Please
be
do
my
it.
Guest.
Yeah.
And then maybe it won't happen.
I don't know. I think Biden should like step down.
Yeah.
He should enjoy his retirement. Like he's 350 years old.
I agree.
Yeah, he needs time to relax, you know. And everything happened during his term.
100%.
Everything.
100%.
Russia and Ukraine, Gaza, now Iran. Dude, you're the bad luck
of this universe.
It's
like they were waiting. The political leaders were waiting for him to get into power so they can do all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. He's like a substitute teacher.
That's a good comparison. I've never heard that comparison.
Everybody's like, shh, no,
and
no.
And no one gives a fuck. No one pays attention to him.
Trump is crazy. Oh no, gosh. No. And then Biden steps in. Everybody's like, shiu chofshi, fuckers.
But it's crazy. It's crazy, first of all, that 99% of the drones and missiles were intercepted by our air defenses. That's an insane statistic. Does this give you more comfort in the IDF?
Because I think the only way we can do better if we actually covered Israel with an Iron Dome. Like, that's the 1%. 99%. Like, how are they turning it into, like, a victory? That's the thing I love about radical Islam. Doesn't matter what they do, they fail miserably. And every time they're like, this was for Allah, and it's a successful attack. Nothing happened. The Zionists need to know. Yeah. What?
Nothing happened. Nothing
that's
happened.
A joke. Yeah. That's a joke.
Yeah.
It's and they have no air how do you call it? Like air defense.
Air defense, yeah. That's what I
Nothing.
Heard too. Yeah.
What are you doing?
Trying to scare us. Doing? That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to scare us.
It's bad enough you have a terrible language. I don't know if you ever heard Farsi. That's horrible. I've seen videos from Iran of people like just going to like gas up the cars because they thought Israel going to react.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. So they were like,
it's almost as bad as Indonesian.
It's terrible. Indonesian is the worst. Yeah, absolutely.
That ranks top one.
Yeah. But it's just you have a terrible language. You have good food, but you're just like how do you convince the people that what are you doing is successful?
You know, I and a lot of my Olim friends, we got so many questions yesterday. You know, why are you, like, how did you make Aliyah? Like, how did you leave your safe space in the United States and do this? And how are you feeling about the situation now? And, I mean, yesterday, when you were walking down the streets of Tel Aviv before everything happened, we still had that warning. Everyone still knew that Iran was possibly going to, you know, attack. But everything was packed. Streets were packed. I posted that reel on the Tayelet. It was packed. You couldn't move. You could barely step because people were always around. And I think that's, for me, I was thinking about it all last night. I'm like, why did I leave my safe place in Texas to be living in this fear and anxiety? And the reality is, first of all, for me personally, I think it's, you're happier here. We're all happier here. We're at home. We're family. We only have one country and this is it.
That's true. Now let us know. What are you doing like 2 days?
Stop.
What do you do?
I'm going home to Dallas, Texas. But guys,
all this heartbreaking monologue.
Guys, I booked.
Like, I have no other place on earth.
I booked this
while you checking your flights.
Come on. I booked this before the war broke out. I had plans to go home for Passover to be with my mom and dad, who aren't here right now, like your mom and dad are. And they're probably cooking you a Passover meal and hosting you for Seder.
Yeah, in Ganyavne.
Yeah, so.
Oh, so you're going for a Passover.
Yeah, of course. And a pit stop in New York.
Yeah, of course. Because, you know,
obviously.
Good for you.
But I think every place has its imperfection. Do you agree? No place is perfect. Texas, we have school shootings.
You know, there's no Iron Dome for that.
I mean, in New York City last week, there was an earthquake. No place is perfect. Japs were freaking out. Japs were freaking out last week, calling themselves earthquake survivors. I swear. And you know, I had friends. I had friends, Japs.
Earthquake survivors?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. I had friends, Jewish American princesses, Japs, who lived in Israel and did Masa programs before and then moved to New York.
Okay.
And I felt like they were a little more resilient and resistant to the earthquake because they already experienced rockets in the past. Like, they weren't the ones being like earthquake survivors. Only the other Japs were.
Just suck it.
So every place has its imperfection. You know,
New York has earthquakes. White woman bullshit. They feel like... I'm a survivor now. Oh my God. Like, I got my life back. Shut the fuck up.
Okay? But not the ones who lived in Israel.
Yeah, of course, because they know
they were resistant. They know.
Exactly.
They were resilient. Yeah.
Ah, Americans.
Gotta love them. But on a lighter note, Matan, I want to congratulate you, on being part of the Buy Me team.
Thank you.
Can you explain to our audience what Buy Me is? Some of them may not know.
Buy Me is an app for gift cards and presents and everything. It's a very big, a very successful app. Every year they choose like eight people to be their like team. New team.
Every year it's a new team?
Usually there's some...
repetitive ones?
Yeah, there's some repetitive ones. And the new guys this year is me and three other people. Like big celebrities. Big Israeli celebrities. Like huge ones.
Yeah. How does it feel to be an official Israeli influencer?
Weird.
Yeah?
I'm not an influencer. That's like a...
You are. If you're on like the Buy Me...
You're not an influencer.
Then
if you're on
you?
Buy Me, you're like a hardcore celebrity.
Israel, okay. So is that a step above
actresses,
influencer?
Comedians, you know? So, yeah. It's very exciting.
It looked very exciting. It even seemed like the Buy Me team was a cult. Like, you guys are like... A cult.
Yeah, we're like a family, not a cult. We're not Swifties. We're a family. That's the difference.
Yeah.
We hang out. We call each other. We, you know, we talk about stuff. Liel was one of my best friends. Liel Eli, she's also got a podcast here in Audio there. You know, once every like 3 years, she does an episode. It's very exciting. But she's not going to know that because she doesn't. She's not listening to it. I can talk trash about her all day. She's one of my closest friends, and she's on the Buy Me team for the past, I think 2 or 3 years. Yeah. So it felt like good. You know, it felt good. Like home, kind of, in a way. Like I know the people.
What was the acceptance process like?
There was no acceptance. They just...
No initiation?
No.
Like a fraternity? Like you have to do this to get into there?
Sometimes I hate Americans. You know? Sometimes she makes me hate the American culture. No, it's just, it's very Israeli. Like, we all kind of know each other, but we don't know each other personally.
So the
first meeting was just to get to know like the people, to have a conversation with the people. And it was very, very exciting. People, like, they told me they knew me. Wow. Like, they love
from
my
Olim
work.
From Olim and TLV podcast.
Obviously,
yeah.
From Olim and TLV.
For
that's
sure.
My most successful one.
That's what you attribute your success to, right?
On the street, people are always like, Olim and TLV. And I'm like, yeah, you know, that's what's happening right now. But it's very exciting. And the moment that happened, a war broke out. So. Yeah. You can never know, but hopefully everything will go back to normal soon.
Yeah. So you said you guys are all friends and family. Should we play a friendly game of Mary Kill?
Sure.
Or friend acquaintance BFF?
Let's just do...
Friend acquaintance BFF.
Yeah, I don't want to get in trouble with anybody.
No. I'm new to the team.
I'm new to the team.
You don't want to get kicked off.
I don't want to get canceled. Yeah.
Maya Wertheimer, Liel, and Barzomar.
Friend, acquaintance, BFF. Maya is a friend. Liel is my BFF. It's and yeah. Bar is
an acquaintance.
Yeah, like I know her.
Maybe
she's
next
great.
Year she'll be a friend.
Maybe
and we'll maybe see. Even best friend.
We'll see.
We'll see.
But
we'll
but see. Yeah, it's yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I can leave with that answer.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you answered well. You answered fine.
Yeah. Maya is so sweet, by the way.
Yeah.
Maya,
her husband's amazing. Asaf yeah. Demir also.
Exactly. I know.
Amazing.
I know he was here, right? Asaf.
He was here for a different. But he's gonna come here also. We're getting
awesome.
Yeah.
So
he's amazing.
She's the sweetest. Yeah. Like she's always like asking how I am. She's like a big sister in a way.
I've heard she has a really angelic figure to herself. Like she's an 100%. Like the way she goes about life is like angelic.
She's pregnant now. Uh-huh. And I don't believe her. She doesn't look pregnant at all. She's pregnant. She's like, oh, she sits down like, oh. And I was like, what are you?
Yeah.
Stop fooling us, you know? But it turns out she is. So I wish my wife would look like
maybe
that.
Maybe we should get Maya on the podcast.
Sure.
We'll do it. Maya.
Why not?
Maya, petition to get you on the podcast. Yeah. This is a public announcement. So on to some other things that are happening internationally. Mm-hmm. O.J. Simpson died at age 76.
Who's O.J. Simpson? I'm kidding.
With a battle from cancer.
She texted me. She texted me. Do Israelis know who O.J. Simpson
is? I know. I asked her to. I just wanted to check. I don't know. Do Israelis? I don't know. You guys don't really keep up with the international news.
O.J. Simpson?
I don't know. I got my answer. I asked. I got my answer. They do know.
I love it how Americans are just sometimes ask you like the weirdest questions, you know, when you're like, oh, so you lived in Israel your whole life? And you're like, yeah, so you know who Beyonce is? And you're like, you want me to slap you in the face? Because I will.
O.J. Simpson's not the same. Like, you know,
listen. If you don't know who he is, your parents do.
Yeah.
Like 100%.
That's for sure. But really mixed emotion time in America.
Why?
People were just didn't know how to react. I think that's why. Like, they just didn't know how to react. Do you be sad? Do you not be
relief.
Sad?
Relief.
Yeah, I mean, you know? I agree. So do you think he did it?
I don't know. I don't care at that point.
Uh-huh.
I don't care. Like, he was a horrible person.
Yeah. I mean, I agree.
Other than the murder, you know, alleged whatever, he was a like armed robbery. Like,
yeah.
He served in prison,
not even for murder, armed robbery and like kidnapping or
He's
something.
He's not a good person. People are just like,
crazy.
Oh, he did it or didn't, because that will determine if he's a good person or not.
No,
that's just another stain on his football legacy. But he's a horrible person.
It was mixed like emotions, quote unquote, because the Kardashians, who are heavy in the celebrity scene, like their dad represented them and they were all intertwined and mixed. So they like rubbed that off on a lot of other celebrities, which Kardashians are not the best example of, you know. But
Kardashians are not the best example of anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
So I think that was loudly talked about last week, in addition to Sacha Baron Cohen.
And his wife splitting up.
Yeah. Do you think
Tennis match photo was weird.
I know. I saw that. That was very weird. Do you know why they split up? Did you hear the juice?
No.
So do you know Rebel Wilson?
Of course.
Okay. So she openly talked about how he like harassed and abused her.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. And so
that's why they would.
Apparently that's what triggered the divorce. They just announced the divorce last week. Yes, yes.
But they were separated for a while now. They were separated for a while now.
Apparently, I read that Rebel was talking about it behind the scenes to other people before coming out of it.
Whoa. Okay.
That's what I read. I mean, I'll bring my sources next time.
She said it was rude and sexually harassment.
Something like that.
Right?
Yeah.
I keep up with the news, with the current news.
Yeah, it
was
clearly
weird. It's unfortunate.
Do you think Sacha Baron Cohen is even funny? Honestly, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
I think I have a hot take. I don't think he's that funny.
Let me tell you this. I didn't really connect it to the Borat movies. Mm-hmm. Like, I watched the first one.
First one was the best one. Second one was
I get embarrassed.
Really?
Like, I feel like it's...
Like, cringe embarrassed?
Cringe.
Yeah, yeah.
So hard. And my friends love it. Like, comedians love Sacha Baron Cohen. Like, they're, like, religiously in love with Borat and Bruno, whatever, you know, garbage that they're watching.
Bruno,
I just can't. I'm sorry. It's too much for me. It's
a little cringe. I agree.
Yeah. It's been a TikToker, but in a movie.
Yes.
You know, just harassing people in a weird way.
Yeah.
The Dictator was awesome. I got to say.
Yes.
But The Dictator, I think the reason I liked The Dictator is because it was more trying to be mainstream. Because if you let Sacha Baron Cohen do whatever he wants to do, it's too much for me.
It's too much, yeah.
But if you're like, okay, you want this to be on theater, there's some guidelines you have to. That's what I love. Sacha Baron Cohen in kind of a frame, something,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because Borat is way too much.
It's a lot. It's a lot. Yeah. He didn't even speak about Israel, I think. Like
he
I
did.
He said something?
Yes.
Where?
He talked about how Israel had the right to defend itself.
But like the basic, like bare minimum spiel or like above and
I didn't,
and
like, I don't remember something very like, you know, fireworks going on.
Like not Michael Rapaport level.
No, nobody is at Michael Rapaport level. Like, listen, we need to be realistic about this.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know what I mean? Like BB is not Michael Rapaport level.
It's very
defending
true.
Israel,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But he was, you know. Everybody knows he's on our side and everybody knows he's Jewish and he talked about it before. So, you know, at least that.
Yeah.
I expect nothing from nobody at this point. Like, I really do. After October 7th, I just don't expect anyone to be like, if you do it, it's nice, but I won't be like, where is your voice? F- you. You know, if it just, I don't have the energy to chase movie stars and be like, be on our side. We don't need your f***ing side. You can do whatever you want. Rami Malek, this Egyptian comedian, which is, by the way.
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking
like,
about.
Like, he's just not funny to the point it's infuriating. Like, I'm all about
listening. He started like shows in America, right?
Yeah. Like, I watched his show, Rami. I think it was on Netflix. I think it was on Yes Comedy,
Hulu.
Yeah. I watched like a few episodes of it, and it's just like that's the problem with the world today. I don't know if you guys watched it, this show, but everything he does on this show with his weird ass Muslim friends is just complaining. Get this, complaining how hard it is to be Muslim in the modern world. That's the whole fucking show. Going to a diner at Ramadan and trying not to eat pork because your dad will be mad at you. Like, listen, your religion is in charge of so many terrible things. Stop playing the victim at every point. And then at one point he goes to Egypt to visit his family and almost hook up with his cousin. Something weird. Like, he's portraying Egypt like this amazing place, like the New York of the Middle East. Dude, you're not fooling anyone. Like, we know how Egypt, like, you know
yeah,
what I
yeah.
you know
Have
what
you
I
been
mean?
To Egypt, by the way?
No. I've been to Sinai, whatever, but
that's
it's not really.
Egypt,
that's not
isn't
that's
it?
The whole way.
I mean, for us it's Egypt.
That's the whole everything
like Americans were like, we're going to Egypt.
For you, everything outside of Tel Aviv is Egypt. So it's
facts,
you know.
Facts.
So he did a whole special about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and it's so embarrassing how little he knows about what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's in a form of comedy. And, you know, it reminds me of the, sometimes there's what do you call cheap applause for comedians. What is cheap applause, by the way? It's, hey, New York, I'm so happy to be here. It's a great, like, New York is the greatest.
Yeah.
You know, that's cheap applause.
Like,
my wife just
nothing?
Had a baby. Cheap applause.
Okay.
You know, there's no joke. Just cheap applause.
Yeah.
And women comedians do it all the time because they're like, because we're women and we have the right to, you know, nah, nah, nah. And you were like, awesome. Where's the joke? You know?
Yeah.
So the whole special is just like, you're Palestinian, free Palestine. And you're like, dude, you're a comedian.
Yeah.
Not a politician.
Not a politician.
Yeah. Weave some jokes into it. You know,
make
me laugh, but it was just, it's just terrible.
I didn't know he was to this extent, like, bad, I guess.
So bad.
But I think what's interesting is that you said, like, oh, we don't, like, you don't care. You don't look for other people's pity anymore, other celebrities' pity. You don't.
I'm exhausted.
I agree. But first of all, I think it's interesting seeing now, like, after what happened last night, the world suddenly stood up for us. It's like, it went from.
Not really. Not really.
Lots of countries did.
I don't know if you read the comments on posts.
Oh, I'm not looking. I'm talking about countries,
listen,
politics, countries.
Yeah,
not
whatever.
People commenting. There's always going to be people commenting on social media. F*** you. F***. Like, I hate.
No. I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about, like, there were a few big pages that I follow on Instagram, Wasted, and some other pages that I follow that just put, like, Iran started a drone strike on Israel, right? And I went to the comments because how stupid can you be to support a radical Islamic regime that oppresses own people?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the comments were, Iran has the right to defend itself.
Still the libs. Stand, it's the woke culture.
Stand with Iran. And I was like, what is happening?
Yes. Yeah. But
what is this?
Yes. But you're always going to have the liberal woke culture. I'm talking more about the countries that stood up. Austria made a statement. Britain, France. I think I even read France defended, used like a... their air defense to intercept some missiles. Jordan, too. That's a big deal.
Listen,
that's a big deal.
Listen, Jordan, I don't know if you guys know that, but the Jordanian king.
Prince King.
He was a pilot, like in the Royal Air Force.
Oh, okay.
Right? Like a combat pilot. Mm-hmm. Like, he's no joke. So the thing is, people think like he defended us because we have some sort of agreement, like Israel and Jordan. No. It's because... The Jordanian, especially the king, have a very, like, they take very high pride in their air force and their air defenses. So it's really like an Arab pride thing. Like, I won't let your drone just cross my country, you know? Okay. That's not how it goes. So the Arab, like, ego wouldn't let him.
Interesting.
Wouldn't let him. And everybody's like, thank you for the king of Jordan to help us. He doesn't give a shit. Yeah. Just don't fly over Jordan. He was more about...
You think they'd actually give zero shits? It's all about pride?
He is more about letting the Iranian know that they can do shit in his airspace than defending Israel. Okay. You know? And also, he's got a bunch of agreements with the Americans and everything. But like, people don't understand that King of Jordan, which is an amazing title.
Yeah, I would love that.
King of Jordan.
Or Prince of Jordan. That's badass too.
He's, I don't know if you track his action through the years, the only thing you can determine is that he's doing whatever the fuck he wants. And
like a true king should?
Like a true king of Jordan.
A true king.
You can love
him.
You can hate him. His wife talks shit about us. He doesn't even pay attention to it.
Amazing.
King of Jordan.
Mad respect.
Whatever the fuck he wants. And you know, when Palestinian Jordanians wanted to run through the fences with Israel when the whole war started, we thought it's gonna be a problem. Because, you know, there are a bunch of Palestinians living in Jordan that were trying to, like, get into Gaza, whatever. And the Jordanian government just put up, like, a bunch of machine guns on the borders. And they were like, if you come close, we're going to fucking shoot you.
Wow.
And as Israelis, we were like, holy shit.
Wow.
This guy doesn't fuck around, you know? So, I don't
shout
know.
Shout out to the King of Jordan. Shout out to the King of Jordan. Do you know his name, or is it just King of Jordan?
Yeah, so I always get confused because I fucking... No. It's not the iconic one, but like, I gotta say it. I think I wrote King on Google and immediately just... King of Jordan? Abdallah II.
Wow, that's a legit name.
Yeah, he looks like one of my uncles.
How old is
he? I gotta say. He looks like my dad's older brother, I gotta say. Like Dochimon, that's how he looks like.
How old is he?
I gotta say. Dochimon. Like, I'm just being honest. How old is he? He was born in January 30, 1962. Rocking it.
Doing the math. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not that old.
Not at all.
Not at all.
And still very feisty.
And still got it. I mean, I haven't seen a picture of him, but he sounds like he's
so please.
Not that money is everything, but he's wealthy and...
he looks good in a very like Moroccan synagogue kind of way.
Yeah.
You know?
Come on.
You know?
Really?
You can tell he loves couscous, you know?
Matan, so we actually got a lot of audience questions.
Again, let's do this.
I chose one that I thought was a little relevant, especially still now, still today, and even more so might be relevant if another war breaks out.
Before you get to the segment, yes. I got to be honest, I didn't want to come today.
I know.
I didn't. I was, Shachar knows, you know.
I know.
Gal doesn't know because it doesn't care. But I really wasn't, like, I was exhausted. I haven't slept all night. I was waiting for the call from my reserve service, obviously. But, like, I get how important this is and how much Olim loves this. And that's the only reason I came today. Aww. That's the only reason. So I got to say, this is really important for me.
And
this,
a lot of people are looking for the, looking, asked me if we're filming this week. They're looking out for this specific podcast.
So like, to our audience, Olim or people abroad, whatever, whatever you are and wherever you are, our audience, this is very important to us. This is very important to us. And we love you guys. And so thank you.
And it's all going to be okay. And it's all going to be okay. We have a Tom protecting us. And Biden.
It's all going to be okay. So now you can get to your, because I'm sorry. I had to say
It was really sweet. It kind of made me emotional. I almost teared up.
Right. Aww, shut the fuck up.
Matan doesn't really get like sensitive. So when he does it, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Okay. Audience question. Mm-hmm. Has dating in Israel changed post October 7th?
I think Shachar and Gal are going to back me up on this. I think it haven't really... They're both in a relationship, by the way. So, but like,
and you're single. Yeah, from our audience. Situationship.
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 Yeah. Thank you.
Nice
That's
way of getting out of
amazing.
It.
Amazing. I think everything. Every time shit happens, you have like the first month and a half of like hooking up with your ex. I was like, "Are you okay?" Blah blah blah. And then after a month and a half, 2 months, everything just go back to normal.
Did you hook up with your ex?
What? No.
Did you reach out to any exes?
No.
No.
I knew it was a trap. I knew it. Because I got all the messages like, are you going to Miluim again? I was like, come on. This is too obvious.
So I'll give you my take on it. Do you know what a bullish market is?
Bullish?
Bullish.
What does that
mean? It's a finance term. A bullish means you expect demand or things to go up. You expect the price to rise. You expect things to go up.
Okay.
Bearish means you expect it to go down.
Bearish?
Yeah. This is my finance girly coming
out of it. Bullish, bearish?
Yes. Bullish up, bearish down.
Because bull in finance is up, right?
Yep. I mean, bull is like, it's a bull. It's an...
That's why they have the statue of a bull in Wall Street, right? Because the bull is throwing you up with his whatever.
Basically, it's if I say I'm bullish on the market, I think the stock market's going to go up. Okay. If I say I'm bearish, I think the stock market's going to go down.
We've learned something today.
My finance girly is coming up.
Amazing.
Just finance like the carrot girly. Cake girly.
Everything
came.
Is a girly. Carrot cake girly. Girly. Carrot cake girly.
You want to give a background on that?
We were doing a Shabbat dinner with the Rappaports. And I don't know how we got that. Like maybe
there
you
was
remember,
a delicious carrot cake.
There was a delicious carrot cake that she didn't make. Obviously, she bought it. And there was a whole debate around like
banana bread or carrot cake.
Yeah. And they're just started going like, where are my carrot cake girlies at? And they're like, and I was like, is this a thing? Like, I didn't know.
Americans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, so my question is it really a bullish market for guys who are not in Miluim service in the dating sphere in Tel Aviv?
I don't know because...
Like supply and demand. Think supply and demand. There's a lot of supply of girls. I mean, a lot of demand. Sorry, a lot of demand for girls, not a lot of supply. All the guys are Miluim, the army.
It's not really.
You don't think it's a bullish market?
Not really, because what I, from my experience, I know that women, usually, they can wait. Like, they will wait for you to come back for Miluim the week, you know.
When will my soldier return?
Yeah, during the weekend, you know. Yeah. They will wait for you. So, it's not like, the guy that I'm talking to is in Miluim right now. Let's f*** this guy. No, it's not how it works, you know. Mm-hmm. I give more credit to women than that.
Do you think it's looked down upon?
Because I'm a feminist. I'm a feminist.
The biggest feminist of them all,
yes.
Matan Peretz.
So, I think women just don't, you know, the guys are in Miluim. No problem. They have more time, you know, to...
Do you think it's looked down upon when a guy is not in Miluim? From a girl's perspective, I can say, yeah.
I think that's a question for you, not for me.
Yes, I think it is.
Okay. On the other hand, he's around.
He's there, yeah.
You know?
So when...
Sometimes that wins. Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Just being around.
Sometimes.
That's how my dad won over my mom, by the way.
Oh, wow.
She had a boyfriend. And my dad was just around. Like, my dad was pretending to talk to her dad all the time.
Wasn't your dad in the army for most of your life?
He served where she lived.
Oh, okay. Well.
So he was going to meet her dad all the time, like my grandpa. Uh-huh. He became best friends with my grandpa. And all of our friends were going, listen, like, this dude is here for you. Just give him, you know, give him a little bit of credit. And she was like, no, I have a boyfriend. Like, I don't care why this guy always, you know, shows up. And then, you know, she and her boyfriend broke up. And my dad was like, guess who's around? and that was it. That's, you know, if you want something, just be around.
So I think we are 100% in a buyer's market. There is more demand than there is supply. Girls are constantly looking out for guys. The guys they want are not there. They're all on Milim. There was even a guy who made Aliyah from Detroit, Michigan. If you follow the Instagram page, you've seen the reel. He got interviewed by Nefesh B'Nefesh. Why'd you make Aliyah? And he said, you know, like, I really want to come to Israel.
I've seen this.
You saw this.
Yeah.
And he was just like, I think it's the perfect time, you know, while all the guys are off in Gaza, may they come back safely. You know, I just think it's a perfect opportunity to meet a girl here. The girls are lonely. They're looking for someone to meet. So I definitely think it's a bullish market. I think there's a lot of demand, not a lot of supply.
Check if he's still single.
So in that, that's a good follow-up. Yep. We will follow up with that.
He's single, 100%. I'm putting a kidney on that. He's single.
I do think the dating game has changed a bit since October 7th.
Yeah, sure.
Also, wartime dating is different because girls need emotional support. That's not how it was before. You know, girls are like, oh, like, come protect me. Do you have a mamad? Or the other way around. Yeah. Or guys sending girls, do you have a mamad? Yeah. It's changed. Yeah. The pickup lines have changed. The dating app profiles have changed. Dating apps used to be in Israel. All the guys in their South America trip, like with the Blue Lagoon in Peru or whatever, now it's pictures of them in Milim. Like, it everything's changed. So I do think it's changed, at least from my perspective.
Again,
you're in a situationship, so maybe...
Yeah, I mean, and maybe I don't feel it because I'm really in a very serious situationship.
You can't even say it seriously.
No, I'm really hoping this one goes well. I really put everything
getting,
I got
guys,
into
he's
it.
Getting really emotional and sensitive. I don't know who this girl is, but thank you. Like, I've never seen him like this. I kind of like this side to Matan.
Yeah, you know, I'm just trying
Can I just ask one question?
Sure.
Is she an Ola or part American?
No.
Fully Israeli?
Fully Israeli.
Russian?
Next question.
And that was not even one question.
She's not Russian, but she's not Russian.
Okay.
She's from Ukraine. So, you know,
same
no
kidding, so kidding, racist. kidding. Also, one thing I thought was funny during hopping off this dating wartime field was that guys started volunteering in these kibbutzes and like farming and harvesting tomatoes. Like, I felt like that was kind of a way to like flex a little and like be like, oh, I'm here farming. I'm like harvesting tomatoes as a way to like pick up girls.
Listen,
little, maybe
nothing about farming is a flex.
Listen. When all the girls go on the trip and you're looking to meet a girl and you're harvesting tomatoes and fruit and vegetables, I think that's an easy slide in.
You know what? First of all, it's not easy. But if you're doing that to pick up girls, good for you. You deserve it. Like, if you're picking tomatoes in the blazing sun just to, you know, meet girls, good for you. That's way better to like, go to a bar. Just pick those tomatoes. You deserve it.
I don't know. All I'm saying is my Instagram feed was full of random dudes going to harvest tomatoes
amazing.
All of a sudden, and it was weird. That's all I'm saying.
No, amazing. It's volunteering. Yeah. And if you're not going to Milim, go support the Israeli like agriculture. It's very, very important. Every time I see those stories, guys, girls, I don't care. If I'm seeing you picking tomatoes or cucumbers or whatever, you're awesome. Like, that's a lot of... You know, good points in my book. Like, good for you. I don't care about your motives.
Okay.
I don't. If you're doing it, you're supporting the Israeli agriculture, which is, you know, needs support. Good for
good
you.
Good guy, Matan.
Don't let this bitch right here, you know.
I'm picking tomatoes
because you want to hook up. Good for you.
I'm simply following up on the question, has dating in Israel changed post October 7th? That's all I'm doing. I see new Tinder profiles. I see new ways of sliding in. I see new Instagram pictures. That's all I'm saying.
Exactly.
So it has changed, to answer the question.
Be creative. Be creative.
Yep.
And, you know, support your country.
Yep.
Amazing. Yep. It's a win-win situation for us.
Yep. What are your thoughts on the impact of fertility rates? The impact of October 7th on fertility rates? Do you think it'll impact fertility rates? Do you think we're going to see a boom soon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
For sure.
I got to say. Like, I was skeptical at the beginning.
Yeah.
But then, you know, my brother just had a baby. So, you know, hopefully.
But that was planned before.
Yeah, obviously. But we need more Jews. Yeah. And I think we understood that during the war, you know?
I think we... when October 7th happened, I expected a birth rate drop in the first 9 months and then a spike in the following 12 to 18 months after. And I think we're really we're really going to see a baby boom, a new baby boom. A new
generation. Some of them even unexpected.
A lot of them unexpected. Yeah. I mean, see, this is part. Wartime dating impacted this. Girls wanted emotional support.
Do you think things like, happened. You're thinking like 3-4 months, we're going to see a bunch of like pregnant olot?
Potentially. Potentially. Not me included, but potentially.
The more reckless olot.
The more reckless olot, which I don't fall into the category. Yeah. Good.
And then because of that, you're going to see a lot more dudes just asking to go into Gaza, you know? Just like,
Yeah.
I got to go. I can't stay here.
It's crazy. Also, Hop, in relation to this question also, I feel like every time I would go out to a bar or a club, I'm not even kidding, a guy would come up and be like, and introduce his friend to me and be like, this is my friend, he just got out of Gaza, blah, 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 blah. And then I go up to him and I'm speaking in Hebrew and I'm like, did you actually get out of Gaza? And he's like, no, my friend is just trying to hype me up. I'm just like, ugh. Like,
to be honest, I think this is a rule of thumb for every Ola.
Okay.
If somebody walks up to me, to you and say, I was in Gaza, he
wasn't. He wasn't in Gaza.
Nine times out of ten, he was not. Because people who is really in Gaza, who is really serving in the Miluim and been through some shit, are not going to go partying when everything is booming all the time. You're going to get the worst fucking post-trauma attack you will have in your life. And I'm talking from experience. I really do. Wow. Like, a few days ago, I didn't told that to anyone, but a few days ago we had a big blast outside of my apartment. It was I guess it was Amut Hashmal who blowed up or something happened. And electricity cable just blows I guess because of the rain, whatever.
Okay.
And for a solid like 2 minutes after the blast, I was just like looking for my weapon. It was weird. Like Dor and his my roommate and his girlfriend was really panicking, and I was just for a moment there, I was just like, okay, I need to put some shoes, I need to get out, you know. And so I feel like it's very disrespectful to the actual people who fought in this war and still fighting to use it as a pickup line.
I agree.
And I'm not blaming the American girls who believe it, because
it's believable.
It's very sleazy to do it as a pickup line. Yeah. So shame on you. Tidbayshu lachem. I'm saying in Hebrew, especially tidbayshu lachem. Tam goal nefesh. Tam osim davar kaze leolot. Lagid lahem shehaytem be'aza rak bishvil liot im ez amerikait. Goal nefesh. Busha v'cherpa. Okay.
Yep. Olot, don't fall out. Take the rule of thumb.
Yeah.
To heart, because it is true. So. In summary, has dating in Israel changed since October 7th? Yes.
A little bit. I got to agree. Yeah.
I hope we answered your question thoroughly.
It's so funny that everybody's afraid, so we can do like a 4-hour podcast uninterrupted. Yes. It's just like, you know.
And I'm like, what's going on in the news? I don't know. Are you checking the news? Are you on Twitter?
No, but my I told you my brother just had a baby, so you know.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of new pictures and, you know.
Aww. Yeah. Uncle Matan.
I'm already in Uncle Matan for two adorable little Russian kids. Half Russian.
Is this a Russian also or Ukrainian?
Well, no, a Russian. My brother-in-law is Russian.
Okay. Okay, now on to hot takes.
Yeah. That's it? We're done?
We're done.
Oh, God. No. I love and hate hot takes. Because
I know, because it's ending.
Yeah, because I love the hot takes and I hate the fact that we're, you know.
I know.
Let's do it. I'm sorry.
The last round of hot takes before I...
Why am I so emotional today? Before you run away.
Before I run away. Yeah. Guys, to be clear, again, I am not running away. I had this flight booked since like December. I want to be home for Passover.
Yeah, ever since they started threatening us, you know.
I was texting Matan last night. I was like, how are you doing? Is everything good? He goes, enjoy New York. I'm like, fuck you. I was like, I'm literally checking in, being a nice person. Can you not check in on me? Be like, how are you? Do you need anything? He goes, enjoy New York with a little like heart.
Because she was trying to be sweet.
I was trying to be sweet.
He was like, how are you? This whole war situation. I was like,
I was looking for a sense of comfort.
Enjoy New York.
I didn't get it.
I'm sorry.
FYI.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Hot take number one.
Yeah.
Olim don't actually love Israel. They love Tel Aviv.
Depends.
I agree with that.
Depends.
Because if you go up to an Olen and you're like, would you live anywhere outside of Tel Aviv? They would 99% of the time say no.
That's not true. Ole that already lives in Tel Aviv, maybe. But there's Olim all over Israel.
Most of the Olim live in Tel Aviv.
Get outside. Get outside of your bubble. Get outside of your bubble. There's Olim everywhere.
In Ashdod.
Ashdod, Ranana, Netanya, Yerushalayim, Be'er Sheva. They're everywhere.
So I guess this question was more directed to most Olim living in Tel Aviv.
Exactly.
In Tel Aviv don't really love Israel. They love Tel Aviv. And that I can agree with.
I hope not. Most of Tel Avivians just, you know, love
Tel Aviv.
No, but
I feel like to a general Tel Avivian, you could say, okay, if you moved to Herzliya or where Netanya or Jerusalem, would you live there? And they would be like, yeah, if they had no other choice. Olim would be like, if I had no other choice, I would move back to America. I'm not going to fucking live in Jerusalem.
I don't know. I hope that's not true, but if you say so, I believe you. Yeah.
Don't put me in Jerusalem. I will not survive in Jerusalem or Ashdod or Netanya.
You will survive everywhere. Don't worry about it.
So next one. Shuk HaTikva is better than Shuk HaCarmel.
I hate them both.
Why?
I don't know why.
We went to good Mexican there.
Yeah, but like it's crowded and smelly. And Americans love it because they're like, oh, that's the real Israel.
Yeah.
Smelly, disgusting people throwing, you know, fish on a... That's not like, I don't...
some girls even say this is really like bad, but they say they walk down Shuk HaCarmel to get an ego boost.
Yeah,
because all the like the sellers are like, "Mami,
boy, kapa." I can understand that though. Exactly. Yeah. That's why they love the Shuk
to get an ego boost.
So somebody with a unibrow, you know, and a weird ass. Almost a beard can be like, where are you going? You want halva?
So back when I was in New Ola, I would actually go to the Shuk to practice my negotiation skills. Like fully practice. And you know, it would be like a winning, like a small victory that I wanted to, if I even got him down 5 shekels, I would call my mom after, "Mom, I'm an Israeli, officially an Israeli." So I think I like Shuk HaCarmel more. Shuk HaTikva scares me. It's in Chulon.
Shuk HaTikva.
Isn't it like borderline Chulon?
No.
Borders Chulon.
HaTikva?
Yeah.
It's close, but it's not border. Like,
Seems really far.
In Shchunat HaTikva, in the Tikva neighborhood, you will meet the weirdest fucking people you ever see in your life. And I'm going to tell you a short story. We went to a Kube food review.
That sounds really yummy.
Exactly. Because
I'm Iraqi.
Exactly. Thank you. So my friend Ruby Michaeli, which is like a foodie and he's also a chef, he's doing like a tour, a Kube food review tour in Israel. He's been to like almost every Kube restaurant. And I commented on one of his posts. I was like, dude, I'm half Kurdish. Take me, you know. And immediately texted me and he was like, dude, next week I'm on Tikva in Kube, Atarnegol, whatever. Come with me. Obviously, I brought Dol with me.
Obviously, because you can't do anything without him.
Listen, we're there. Like, this is the weirdest story ever. We're there for a food review, right? We're waiting. Ruby came with his wife because they're a team. And she's like, listen, I think we should film it from here because we're going to see the sign, whatever. She's like orchestrating the whole thing. And we're sitting there. And suddenly we hear, ugh! And we're like, what is going on? And there's a guy in line.
In front of the counter,
like going like, ugh! And everybody's like, guys, what is going on? Like, please, sir, can you step? It was like somebody had a gun. Sir, calm down. 3 seconds went by and he just went, ugh! Just threw up on the counter. Like people were eating next to him.
Oh no.
Just like throwing up and
owners, he was a normal guy. He wasn't like a drunk homeless guy.
And the owner's daughter knew Ruby from TikTok, so she was fucking panicking because she was like, oh, that's the Kube guy and he's coming to review our Kube, so they give us a bunch of like free samples or whatever. And she was fucking panicking and we ran away. We stood aside because we started throwing up, and a woman and her son, I think, were on the counter eating Kube. And the woman was going, why are you doing this here? Like, walk away. Just get away from here. And he just literally turned around and started throwing up to the street.
Oh,
it was like
God.
A river of vomit going from the counter of this Kube place to the fucking road.
Okay, this is disgusting.
Listen, we're running away. Me, Ruby, and his wife going.
Oh, and Dor, where was Dor?
Oh my God, Dor was sitting in the fucking table going.
Of course he was.
Are we hitting or not?
Of you know, course like, he was.
What
of
is? Why was. Are you guys running away? He was just waiting for the Kube.
Waiting for the Kube. Respect.
Somebody's fucking throwing up his guts, and Dor is like.
So what? Yeah.
Like,
legend.
You know what I mean? It's legend. Not even, yeah. You know, I'm hungry.
Did he get the Kube in the end?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay.
We were debating if we're doing it or not because none of us were in the mood to eat anything. But the owner and his daughter were like, oh, we're so sorry. Like, it probably felt
so embarrassed.
It's the same drunk homeless. We always give him some food. And this time they were like a little bit packed. So he had to wait.
Oh, no.
And, you know, but it was really nice. It was great Kube. But the thing, like, Dor wasn't affected like at all. The moment the Kube arrived, we were like, okay, we're just going to taste it, rate it. I don't know if I want to eat. And Dor was like, okay, so give it to me after.
Yeah. Nice, yeah.
destroyed like 3 plates of Kube. Unbelievable.
So guys, Shuka Caramel is better than Shuka Tikva.
From that experience,
yes.
Yeah, it's and at the end, after we were done filming, like me and Ruby were standing in front of the store. And Dor was sitting aside, like eating the rest of the Kube, obviously. And then a guy just walks up to him. The weirdest fucking guy I've ever seen in my life. He looks old and young at the same time. It was weird. It's like got like barely like 4 teeth in his mouth. And he went to Dor like straight. And I'm looking at it. And he went to Dor looking at him. And Dor was eating, looking at him back. And he goes, there are some weirdos out here.
What a Dor response to that.
Okay. I was like, you know what? I hear you, brother.
Oh my gosh, I will not be going to Shuka Tikva.
That's the stuff I can say in the English podcast because I could never, you know, like I'm talking, you know.
Yeah. Okay, next.
Yeah.
People in Israel get married only to be able to afford rent. Woo.
No, that's not true at all.
Someone submitted that.
Yeah, because it was probably a stuck up American.
I think it's controversial.
It's not controversial because it's not true.
I mean,
it's just
a lot
not
of the
true.
Controversial ones are not true. Are
Do you
true.
Even know people from Tel Aviv? Because they're not getting married.
That also is true. The closest that Tel Aviv men get to proposing is the knee drop.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the
just getting
closest.
Getting on the beach and putting one knee down and being like, where are you from? That's the closest Tel Aviv men get to proposing.
They're living that together. They even have children and they're not getting married. So,
okay.
You know.
Whoever submitted this?
You know shit.
Yeah. Okay, last one. Speaking with an American accent automatically leads to a 30% price increase.
Just 30?
You think it's more?
You're so sweet. No.
How much would you get?
50%.
Really?
Yes.
But depends. Like, at restaurants, they wouldn't do that to you. Obviously, it's more like the Shuk vibes, right? Where
Listen,
else? Where wh- else wherever- besides the Shuk? I actually am genuinely interested. Where else besides the Shuk would they be able to hijack prices for
I'll
Americans?
I'll make it very simple for you. Whenever the price is on the menu or whatever, you can see the price. It doesn't matter which accent you're going to talk. Whenever you can't see the price, like, you know,
fair
shook
game.
Stuff.
It's all fair game.
Just, you know, yeah. It's all fair game.
Okay.
Just
okay.
Have an Israeli with you.
Tip. That, another tip.
That would be myself. Like, because you would be like, how much is this purse? It looks great. And the guy would be like, it's 200 shekels, but for you, 190, you know? And then an Israeli guy would be like, Zarbaim shekel.
Yeah.
Just what are you doing? He'll be like, oh, with you, 50 shekels. You know?
Yeah. We need to do like a buddy program for new Olam.
Yes.
Like whenever a new Olam makes Aliyah, like set them up with a buddy, an Israeli buddy.
Yeah. It's like it's going to be like friends with benefits, but
yes.
Friends with discounts.
Yes. There we go. And maybe benefits.
Maybe. We'll see. We're not pushing towards anything.
Could be both. Could be both.
But you could just, you know, when you're like, I need to go to the Shuk tomorrow to buy some stuff. So you have your buddy.
Yeah.
Your discount buddy. You're like, what are you doing tomorrow? Let's do this. I need you for an hour and a half tops. And, you know.
And see.
Lunch. Buy him lunch.
They get to practice their English. Yeah. They get to make new friends.
And Israelis they get free food.
And they get free food.
So I think that, right? Chachar,
I think we should actually take this into consideration. This might be part of an Oli.
Because you'll save so much money. You'll save so much money on what you buy. So you can afford give a lunch, you know, to your buddy.
Yeah.
You know, you will save so much money.
Okay, we're going to look into that as well as the Shtod trip that we're planning.
Oh my God, we have to do this.
We're doing it. I'm being serious and I'm planning it when I get back from New
Amazing.
York in Texas.
I just went to Ashdod.
Of course you did.
Because, you know, because the situation.
That reel, by the way, got so much hate.
What?
Like in a good way. In a good way. They're like,
you know how people. It was amazing. People were like, Swiftie "Who does she think she is?" I thought he's amazing, and I'm supposed to be like, "Guys, come down." I was like, "Yeah!" Like, and they were like, "Attack her!"
They were like, "As a chaya baseret, shualat im yesh a wolt in Ashdod." And I'm like,
"She lives in a fucking bubble." I was like, "Right."
It was amazing. Those were some really good comments. I think that was one of the first times where I actually enjoyed getting hate. Like, and laughed at it, genuinely.
I was having so much fun. Time.
Too many more, guys. Too many more.
Oh, my God. That was amazing. We have to go to Ashdod. Then you do a reform Ashdod.
We will. We'll do a follow-up for the audience.
And you'll be like, Ashdod is amazing. And still people will be like, this.
We'll even walk from there and show them.
Yeah.
Walt exists. I'm glad you got so much enjoyment out of seeing all the hate I got. I can always count on Matan to back me up when I get hate.
Listen.
The Swiftie, you got a little hate on.
Yeah,
too.
But I don't give a shit. Yeah. You have a heart. I don't. So
Today you do.
Yeah, a little bit. But it was so much fun watching the comments.
It was really good.
Because I was reading the English comments. So I was like, okay, people were like, oh, really?
Oh, Ashdod, yeah.
That sounds great.
All the Americans were like,
I wasn't Ashdod, it was awesome. And then the Hebrew comments,
and they just go off. Guys, if you need entertainment after listening to this, go look at the Reels comments. Pure entertainment. 100%.
Please go. Look how they assume. She doesn't know Hebrew. It's just.
It's amazing.
Who the fuck did she think?
Yeah, yeah.
That bitch.
Chaya beseret.
Chaya beseret. Yeah. Chaya bebua. Mi choshevet she. Oh my God. It was.
And they're not entirely wrong.
That's true. And it was amazing. Loved it. Loved every second of it.
It was amazing. Guys, this has been awesome. We're very lucky to be here talking to you guys right now. And it means a lot to us that you guys are tuning in. And
yes.
We wish you all safety and happy Passover. And may this all end soon. Whole balagan.
Amen.
Bring them home. Everything.
Yes.
Everything.
And if you have friends that suffer from anxiety, tell them, stop watching the news.
That's true.
Tune into our podcast.
There you go.
We got a good one. We got a great one. We're having fun. We're smiling. You know, that's the best revenge. Keep on living.
Exactly.
Keep on living.
Exactly. We love you guys.
We love you guys. Bye.
עוד יותר, יוצרי התוכן של ישראל. הוקלט באולפני אודיו, המשווקת את ספוטיפיי בישראל. אודיו.